We're in the middle of a series of lessons on the book of 1 John entitled, How Do You Know You're a Christian? This whole book is dedicated to identifying here's what it means and here's what it's like and here's who you are and here's what you do when you are a child of God. Today we're going to be looking specifically at be confident of the corollaries of your conversion. And I thought about that title for a while and that middle word, corollaries, and I changed it and went back and changed it and went back, and I said, you know what, if I can get them just to mull over that word as long as I have, then I'm leaving that in the title. Because I want you to be confident of the outcomes, of the results, of the consequences of your conversion. And it's important as children of God that we have confidence in those things. Because if we're constantly worried about our situation, if we're constantly worried about our salvation and our standing with God, it can really affect our ability to serve God the way God wants us to serve Him. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Thank you. Be seated. You can be confident in the corollaries of your conversion. The passage that we're going to examine this morning, this passage, is unique. It's unique in John because for two reasons. The first reason is, even in the Greek text, these verses are in poetry. So in the very midst of a regular form or genre of letter, we have a poetical section. And then, it's unique in that John seems to be addressing three different groups of people. You've got the little children, the fathers, and the young men. And those two things that make this passage different have caused a lot of speculation among scholars as to why in the world is this in the middle of this letter and why is it written in poetry and who are these people? Many noted scholars, some of whom I respect a lot, think that these different people are indicative of levels of spiritual maturity. Children being babes in Christ. Young men being those more mature. Fathers, those being most mature. Other scholars think that he is writing to actual groups of people. The word little children, as it's translated into English, is really one word in Greek. And John has used this constantly throughout this letter, addressing the entire congregation. So, he said, some think that he's addressing the whole church there, and then when he addresses the fathers and the young men, he's addressing actual, literal subgroups within the congregation. They're not figurative at representing spiritual maturity. And I spent a lot of time wrestling with that. And I decided, you know what? Honestly, this side of heaven, I don't know if I am ever going to know for sure the audience to whom John is writing. What I do know for sure is what he has to say to that audience. He has a word of assurance for each of these groups of people, whoever they are. We know they're Christians. We know they're children of God. But he has a word of assurance, and he has something very specific to say to each of them about the consequences of their coming to Christ. Every time he addresses or readdresses one of these groups, he uses a perfect tense verb to say something to them in order to comfort them and bolster them. A perfect tense verb describes an action that was fully completed in the past, but has continuing corollaries or consequences or results in the present. Dr. William Mounts, in his Basics of Biblical Greek Grammar, said this about the perfect tense. He says, perfect tense verb describes an action that was brought to completion, but whose effects are felt in the present. So when John uses these verbs this way in addressing these groups of people, what he's doing is he's telling them that because of your conversion to Jesus Christ, because of you coming to Christ and becoming a child of God, you can be confident in these results. Here are some things that happened when you came to Christ, and here are the continuing results because of you coming to Christ. The message that he has for each group is important. He says, first of all, be confident that you have been forgiven. We need to be confident. If we are children of God, if we are Christians, that our sins have been forgiven. We need to be confident in that fact and reassured in that. For any of God's messengers, be it the apostles or prophets of the first century, or preachers, teachers, or evangelists of this century, the importance of communicating this message to the church cannot be overemphasized. As a matter of fact, too often we've heard messages that are doom and gloom and failure. And we hear those things and we get disappointed and we get discouraged and we think, you know what? Can I really be a Christian? Can I really live a Christian life? Now, it is one thing to warn people about the dangers of sin and to let them know that Satan has traps that are out there, but it is an entirely different thing to make it sound like there's no hope. There's no hope for living this Christian life. John says to these groups of people, he says to us this morning, some good news. You can know that because you are a child of God, your sins have been forgiven. And they continue to be forgiven. Some of you accept that intellectually. But I know for a fact some of you have not accepted that emotionally. You're still carrying around that baggage. You're still carrying that weight on your shoulders. You know God has forgiven you, but somehow, for some reason, you have not forgiven yourself. Be confident that God has forgiven you. When you came to Christ, when you became a child of God, God forgave you and He continues to forgive you. Why? For His name's sake. We might put it this way. Because of who He is and what He has done. Your sins have not been forgiven because of who you are and because of what you have done. Your sins have been forgiven because of who He is and because of what He has done. He has done this for us as a gift. Be confident that your sins have been forgiven. Then he says, be confident that you know the Son. Again, we may not be sure who the audience here is, but nowhere else in the New Testament does he describe a group of people of older believers by saying, I'm writing to you fathers. Nowhere does he do that. And if you're wondering what's happening with the slides, we have a brand new computer and we're still working out bugs. Bear with us. But the point is clear. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. Whenever you came to Christ, you came to know Jesus then, and you continue to know Him now. You had a past knowledge of Him that has continuing results in the present. Your knowledge continues to grow. It continues to develop. Him who was from the beginning is what He says. It's used earlier, that same phrase, in reference to Christ. William Barclay, writing about, you can be confident that you know the Son. He said this, when John spoke of the increasing knowledge of Christ, he did not mean that the Christian would become an ever more learned theologian. He meant that throughout the years he would become more and more intimately friendly with Jesus. Be confident that you know the Son. Be confident that you have come to know Him and that that has continuing effects and continuing results in your life today. Then he says, be confident that you have overcome Satan. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. That word overcome means conquered. It's used elsewhere to mean to bring about a victory or to achieve victory. Over whom have we achieved this victory? Over evil? Have we achieved this victory over wickedness? It's greater than that. It's better than that. He says, you have overcome, you have conquered, and you continue to conquer the evil one himself. You don't just defeat evil. You defeat Satan himself. When you came to Christ, you conquered the evil one. When you came to Jesus, you conquered Satan. And you continue to conquer him. Let me ask you a question. Do you live with a confident certainty that you have overcome Satan? Do you live knowing that you have achieved victory over the evil one? Do you live knowing that? Are you confident of that? Are you assured of that? We can be confident we have overcome Satan. We overcame him when we came into Christ, and we continue to overcome him while we are living in Christ. Past result, past action, continued results. Praise be to God. We've overcome the evil. Then he says, you can be confident that you know the Father. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Our Lord is the one who said this best. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. If you know me, then you know the Father. I have some good news for you this morning. When you came to Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, if your sins have been forgiven, you were not only converted to Christ, you were converted to the Father. You came to know the Father. You came to have a relationship with the Father. We've got to be confident that because of what happened at our conversion, it continues to have results and consequences in the present. We know the Son and we know the Father. And then he says, be confident that the Word lives in you. The Word lives in you. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you. This word strong in the New Testament usually refers to human power or human strength, like the power to wage war. In this passage, John says, you are strong not because you have the rigorous, vigorous strength of being young men, but you are strong specifically and only because the Word of God abides in you, lives in you. You can be confident that God's Word lives in you. We read elsewhere in our New Testament that the Word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. Be confident in the fact that when you came to Christ, the Word of God began to dwell in you and it continues to live in you. It continues to dwell in you. You can be confident in the corollary of your conversion. The bottom line question is this: are you confident in your conversion? Paul penned these words to the Galatians. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. I have a very simple question for you today, Christians, and those who may not be Christians. Are you confident in the outcome? Are you confident in the consequences of your conversion? Have you been clothed with Christ? Have you put Christ on in baptism? If so, John wants you to be confident as you live your life in the world. Be confident of who you are, to whom you belong, who you know, who you've overcome, what dwells in you. Be confident of those things. Don't be timid. Be strong. But if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you haven't been clothed with Christ, which means you haven't been converted to Christ. And there's another piece of good news that comes with that. The baptistry is ready. The water is warm. We have clothing and everything you need. Would you like to leave here confident today? If you need to respond, come now as we stand and sing.